Star Wars The Force Awakens, Star Wars Rebels crossover. The setup is that Ezra is Rey's teacher, and the whole Rebels crew are, well, those of them that were alive at the end of Rebels are still alive and still working with the Resistance, but they're kind of scattered now, and how would that change the Force Awakens plot? So, start with that scene on Jakku where Poe is going to meet the old guy and he is asking for this information, and that old guy is Ezra. They get interrupted by the First Order, but instead of Poe getting captured, Ezra steps forward and does something with the Force. He might have a lightsaber, he might not, depending on how dramatic he wants to be. But he definitely reveals that he is a Force wielder. He might not claim to be a Jedi master just yet, but he totally is. It's really just, is he being subtle about that? Because, and he's really more of a gray Jedi anyway. But Rey is there in the background. Rey is his Padawan. And Rey is playing backup for him. Maybe she's up on a ridge with like a pair of binoculars scoping out the place. And then I'm going to have to write this scene three times from each of the points of view, because the first time it's from Poe's point of view and he is asking for the data, and then the stormtroopers barge in and there's the fight, and Poe gets, like, knocked to the ground by Kylo, but then Ezra intercedes and tells Poe to run, or tells him to just, like, get out of there. There's a fight where Ezra is, like, redirecting blaster bolts, and, like, if it's a full-out fight, then it would have to be with lightsabers, but it might just be a distraction that Ezra, like, moves something with his mind, and then Kylo gets distracted. So Poe grabs the data, runs off into the desert with BB-8, has no plan, but does have a ship. No, he has a ship nearby. I'll have to watch the movie again to see if it's canon that a ship gets blown up, because if his ship gets blown up, then it gets blown up. Either way, he doesn't have a ship, but he's running into the desert. And then all of a sudden, there's this person in robes, and they are on a speeder, and they are scooping up BB-8. How dare they? And then it turns out that it's Rey, and she's offering a hand, saying, I'm getting you out of here. He doesn't know what if he should trust her, but at the same time, at least she's not a stormtrooper, and maybe she says something like, my master will distract them, come on, or something like that, that clues him in that she is with Ezra. And that's where his scene cuts off. His is the closest. Rey's and Poe's scenes, I don't know which one will come first. It depends on how things fall out. Rey's up on a ridge watching. She sees, like, first she senses the First Order, and she's got a Master Padawan bond with Ezra. So she is, like, trying to reach for him through the mental link, and he's kind of shutting her down, just like, I hear you, I'm focusing right now, like, acknowledged, but I can't talk. And she's muttering to herself, like, come on, master, you've got to get out of there, come on, they're coming. And then the ship lands, and she starts to get up and she grabs her staff because she does not have a lightsaber. Then she freezes when Ezra tells her to, first he orders her to stay put, and she's railing at him in her mind, going, "Master, master, I can't, I'm going to," and he's like, "No, you cannot be captured, I can handle this." And then he orders Poe to get out of there, and Rey is still shouting at him, and so he basically orders her, like, "Get him out of here. Protect the data." And she curses to herself, but then she goes and grabs her speeder and circles around to grab Poe and BB-8. And she takes them back to her home that she has been sharing with Ezra. Side note, Ezra's code name in the Resistance is Fulcrum, but Poe doesn't realize that he's a Jedi because Fulcrum is a name that has been passed around so often. And it's like a respected title that, like, whoever is Fulcrum is always important, but the Fulcrum name is not always associated with a Jedi. So they head back to a broke down ship that Rey and Ezra have been camping out in. And Rey is frantic and she's like, "I can't feel my master. I can't," like, he, because Ezra has shut her down at this point. Ezra has been captured and taken to the First Order ship, and Rey cannot feel him anymore because he's being tortured. And because he's being tortured, he has shut down their mental link because he does not want to feed any of that into her. Like, she can basically tell that he is still alive, but nothing else. And so she is frantic. She is like, "I've got to go save him. I've got to do something." And Poe is like, "No, we've got to protect this data. This data is more important than any one operative. I get that you're worried about your friend." And she just shouts at him, "He's not my friend, he's my master." And she reveals that she's a Jedi, or at least training to be a Jedi. And she even has, like, a Padawan braid because, I mean, it's all tucked back with the rest of her hair. But she... Okay, so Ezra is not her biological father. She was out in the wilderness and doing her, like, lonely counting of days, and "My parents, my family will come back for me." And then Ezra finds her, and she at this point is something like, I'm going to say that she was abandoned by her family at age 5-ish, and now she's something like 11. Roughly the same, like 11 to 13. Early teens, slightly younger than Ezra was when he met Kanan. So Ezra found her, and he was looking for something else, but the Force led him to her. And he explained that he was a Jedi, and maybe he was injured at the time, and she was helping to take care of him. This is all happening on Jakku, and this is all happening years ago. And he has been wandering the galaxy, just following the will of the Force, mostly. Like, working with the Resistance, but not really working for the Resistance. It's like they're allies, but he understands at this point in his life that he can't be tied to any one association. If he's going to be a Jedi, and like maybe he had a falling out with Luke and they had a big argument before, like Luke is all, "I'm going to build a school and rebuild the Jedi Order." And Ezra is like, "You know what? That looks like a great idea from the outside, but I'm going to be over here." Because let's all face it, Ezra is a much better chosen one than Luke. I'm sorry, Luke. You are a bundle of sunshine, but you make some terrible choices. Not that Ezra doesn't, but... so... Ezra finds Rey and he takes her in and he tells her all of the old legends about the Jedi Order. And he still has that holocron that had Obi-Wan's message in it. And he like shows her this holocron and she is fascinated because he offers to take her in. He offers like, you are force sensitive. I can train you, but here's what it's going to cost you. And she goes all in. She is desperate for a family. So Ezra offering to be her master and offering to train her in this ancient like style of the ways of this ancient, or it gives her something to connect to. It gives her like this family that she has been desperately craving, even though all of them are dead. She feels like she's a part of something. So she is hanging on to all of these Jedi traditions that Ezra barely even remembers, that Ezra is dragging up from his memories of stories of that Kanan told him when he was younger and things that he's picked up along the way. So when she has a braid, nobody else understands what that means, but she does. And she like makes a point of never cutting that one braid and of like keeping these special beads on it. And she doesn't have a lightsaber, but that's only because she hasn't gotten a crystal. She knows how to make one. And she's like, it's one of the things that she's like, I'm gonna have a lightsaber. I'm gonna have a lightsaber. I just like, and she keeps pestering Ezra to go and take her to a planet where she can get a crystal. And she says she's ready. And he's like, when the Force says you're ready, then you're ready. You will get a crystal when you get a crystal. Trust me. I found mine when I was ready. The Force will know. just trust the Force. And that's one of the reasons that they haven't left Jakku yet, or like not for very long. Part of it is that at first, Rey was still a little hesitant. She was like, I want to be a Jedi, but if my parents do come back, and Ezra, being the total gray Jedi that he is, was like, well, no, family is important if they are coming back. And so they did stick around for a little bit, but the longer they stuck around, they both know that her family aren't coming back, and it became more of a waiting game, waiting for the Force to say when it was right. Ezra came to Jakku for a reason, and he ended up with this information for a reason, and for some reason, Jakku is important. He just hasn't figured it out yet. He's working on it. Patience is one thing that he has definitely learned over the years. So when Ezra gets captured and Rey rescues Poe, Rey is desperate to get Ezra back, and Rey knows that she can't rescue Ezra on her own. She wants to, but she does not have the skills, she does not have the knowledge, and Poe kind of talks her down from trying. And Poe is all for, like, look, we can get this information back to the Resistance, and once the Resistance has this information, we can go and rescue your master. God knows, we could use a Jedi. We can send it out a strike team. We can do whatever we can. We just need to get this information back to the Resistance first. And there is a plan. There is a backup plan that Rey and Ezra worked out in case they ever got separated, because they are Resistance agents. even if Ezra has been kind of working on, like, working from the sidelines, and he's been keeping himself separate for several years now. He, maybe ever since the Emperor was killed and the Republic was, like, refounded and a bunch of things happened there, and Ezra lived through all that, but he didn't trust it even then. Like, he wanted to because he and the rest of the Resistance had been fighting for it for so long, and maybe he went back to Lothal, and maybe things happened. Like, a bunch of stuff happened. This is all deep in the past, and it's all exposition that probably will not make it into the actual story, but he saw the fall of the Republic for a second time, and he kept himself separate. But anyway, Rey and Ezra have a backup plan. If they ever get captured, if they ever need somewhere to fall back to, Rey is supposed to get off planet and go to meet up with some friends of Ezra's from back in the day. And she knows, like, first, like, this planet with these coordinates, this planet with these coordinates, this planet with these coordinates, this. And she's got a list of planets that have potentially safe havens. And they're not Resistance bases, because Resistance bases could be compromised. They are people that Ezra met personally and who he, like, owes a favor to. Or who owe him a favor, rather. Unfortunately, Rey doesn't have a ship. So, Rey heads back to the... what is that, a marketplace? It's a... she heads back to where she gets the rations, and she's all set to either bargain or steal a ship. She's got some good parts, and she's like... she's pulled together everything that she and Ezra have managed to scavenge or whatever over the past few months, and she hauls it all over there, and she's like, I'm going to have a ship, give me a ship. And you get the scene where that one guy is like, give me that droid. And Poe is in the background. Poe thinks that he is going to be too recognizable. One extra droid might be excused, but there aren't enough people on Jakku that, like, another one showing up won't be noticeable. So, Poe is in the background watching her back, but BB-8 is up with her, and so they're like, give me the droid and I'll give you a bunch of rations. Give me the droid and I might bargain with you for a ship, whatever, because you're asking for a ship this time. And she knows the importance of BB-8, and she's like, hell no. But this calls in the stormtroopers. Now, I'm going to jump back in time here because Finn, when the battle went down with Kylo Ren against Ezra, Finn was there. He's still thinking of himself as FN-2187, and he is in the middle of the battle, and there are blaster fire going everywhere, and there are lightsabers, and he is able... I'm going to say that Finn is not Jedi level, but he's Force sensitive. He's definitely, like, not a null. So he's feeling all of this energy, the Force energy getting thrown around in the battle, and he feels, like, all of the hatred and the dispassionate fear that is coming off of everyone except for this one guy, and I'm going to say that Ezra might have been able to escape, but he wanted to let Poe get away with Rey. And so he let himself get captured. And he's so calm about it. Like, there's a bit of a fight, but when it does come to him getting captured, he gives up fairly easily, but he's still radiating this peace and certainty in the Force. And Finn, like, he can't do it. He can't fire his blaster. And he ends up taking off his helmet. That's the first thing. And that's important because in this story, taking off the helmet means that the sensors are cut off. So they assume that he's dead or incapacitated, because otherwise, why take off your helmet? No proper stormtrooper would take off your helmet, would take off their helmet. So he must be dead or unconscious. And if he's unconscious and or severely injured, then he's useless to them. So they're going to leave him on this planet. And if he's dead, then yeah, they're going to leave him. So they leave him on Jakku along with the rest of the dead stormtroopers. They fly away more concerned with the Jedi that they have just captured. And he's hyperventilating in a corner behind a tent. And he eventually pulls himself together and he's in the ruins of this small little tent area. He has no idea what to do next or where to go or what is even anything, except that he's somehow managed to escape the First Order. And he's all alone and he strips off his armor and he grabs like some of the rag clothing from this tent area and wraps himself in that instead. And he's like determined that I'm not going back. I'm gonna run away. He straight up plans to run away. Now the tent village is like wrecked, but there's enough there that he can kind of, maybe he finds a map, or maybe he finds like a path that is well traveled. And so he finds his way back to the market, and he sees Rey and BB-8 talking to that one guy, and he recognizes the droid, and he's like behind a pillar or something, listening in, trying to get information, and it's clear that she's trying to get a ship, and that one guy offers to buy the droid for a ship. And she says, hell no, and turns around and says, come on, BB-8, we'll go find one of our own. And she storms off, and then Finn overhears the guy make a call into the First Order. That, yeah, I found your droid, it's here, like, give me some money and I'll give you the coordinates, kind of thing. And Finn does not have a plan. He kind of tries to sneak off following Rey and BB-8. He's not, like, planning on warning them or anything, but he doesn't want to be there when the First Order shows up, and so he does not have a plan, but he kind of follows Rey, and then Rey notices Finn following her and, like, grabs him by the jacket, except it's not Poe's jacket this time, because Poe still has his jacket, but she grabs him by the front of his cloth robe thing and pulls him in, goes like, why are you following me? Who are you? And he immediately spills the beans about, like, I'm not trying to follow you. I know where that droid came from, and I overheard that guy talking to the First Order, and they're going to... They called in the First Order, and please don't hurt me. except, you know, he's not like actually begging for his life. He's just like panicking. At this point, or maybe it's Poe. Maybe Poe notices Finn following Rey because he's been watching Rey. So all three of them are there and Finn babbles out the thing and Poe is like, who are you? How do you know about my droid? And Finn, because he does not have a name, he says, FN2187. And he babbles out the whole thing about, I was at the meeting and I was a stormtrooper. Please, I don't want to be a stormtrooper anymore. They left me for dead. I don't want to fight for them. And he doesn't say he wants to join the resistance, but Poe gets that light in his eyes and goes like, you know about the First Order. And Finn is like, I know about the First Order? And Rey and Poe drag him along without him really understanding why. And they're dragging him along because they think that he can help get them in to rescue Ezra. About that time, Poe and Rey are talking really fast back and forth at each other. And they're like, he can get us in. And like, we can rescue my master. And Finn doesn't really understand what they're saying. They're talking really, he understands the words, but he's doesn't have the context. That's when the TIE fighters swoop in and start bombing the market. And everybody starts to run, and they, like, Poe says, like, head for the ship. And Finn is like, which ship? And they do the whole, like, not that ship. That ship is garbage. The garbage will do. And they end up, of course, on the Millennium Falcon. Now, instead of Rey being the pilot, because even though she can pilot, they have a good pilot. And Poe is an awesome pilot. So we've got Finn still on gunners, and we've got Poe as the primary pilot, and Rey maybe jumps in as co-pilot, or maybe she is a second gunner. Or maybe there's a gunner's station hooked up to the co-pilots. I'm not sure if there is, but we can hand wave it and say that there is, that she's like doing the forward guns along with co-piloting. Rey can apparently multitask. And they fly over Jakku and they blast the TIE fighters out of the sky, and they're up into the sky and they escape. And Poe is all like, yeah, this is great. We're going to head back to the resistance. We're going to do all these things, and except the ship is damaged. And the ship was in need of repair even before they went through a firefight. So yeah, there's that scene where Rey is trying to fix everything, and instead of her bonding with Finn, like, Poe is handing her things, and Finn is kind of standing off to the side going, what have I gotten myself into? And I think it's at this point that Poe gives Finn his name, because maybe they need an extra hand, and Poe is like, hey, you, what was your name again? And Finn is like, FN2187, and Poe is like, yeah, that is not a name. I'm calling you Finn. And Finn is like, okay. And is kind of amazed for a minute that, like, hey, I have a name. And I'm going to say that, so they still have to meet up with Han and Chewbacca. Han and Chewbacca capture the Falcon, and since Poe and Rey were working on the Falcon, maybe Finn went up to the cockpit to, like,
check if the signals were getting through, or to check on the alarms. Like, there was, you know, something, some light was flashing, and he was like, what's that? And Poe and Ray were like, well, we can't, go to the cockpit and figure it out. We're busy here. And so they don't have time to contact Finn. They're like, either he's seen this other ship, he has to have seen this other ship. We're hiding. We can't get in touch with him. And so Chewbacca and Han, like, find them in the smugglers' compartments, and they look up all sheepish-like, and Poe, of course, knows who Han and Chewbacca are. Poe might recognize the Falcon now that I think about it. But I'm going to hand wave it and say that he doesn't recognize the Falcon. That either he thinks it's a different model of the same ship. No, that doesn't work. The Millennium Falcon is too recognizable. Darn. But he didn't see it from the outside. Maybe he's never been inside the Millennium Falcon. Okay, Poe has never been inside the Millennium Falcon, and he didn't have a chance to see it from the outside, because he has seen it, like, years ago on a landing pad. But he looks up and sees Han and Chewbacca, and he's like, you! And they're like, you? And he, like, jumps out of the smuggler's hold, and he's like, it's me, it's Poe, it's... And Rey is like, wait, who are these people? And Poe is frantically introducing, like, this is Han Solo, this is Chewbacca, this is... And at that point, they reveal that they're on the Millennium Falcon, and she does the whole... The Millennium Falcon, the ship that made the Kessel Run in 14 parsecs. And Han gets all like, it was 12 parsecs or whatever it was. And they're all like, oh my God, this is great. But see, Finn didn't know about the reunion. So he grabbed, like, one of those big blaster gun, like, I'm gonna say, like, a blaster staff? Is there such a thing as a blaster staff? Would there be one on the Millennium Falcon? I don't know. Maybe he grabs a blaster and Rey's staff, and he's like, so Rey and Chewbacca are, like, striding through the corridors like they own the place, because they kind of do. And maybe 10 feet behind them, Poe is explaining to Rey about how he knows Han and Chewbacca. And this one time when Chewbacca was, like, you know, telling all these stories. And then Finn comes out of a side corridor and, like, hits Han over the, like, back of the head and, like, gets him on the ground, and then Chewbacca's there, and they're in this really thin corridor, and Chewbacca's, like, howling up a storm, and he grabs Rey's staff, and they're yanking it, and there's a blaster into the ceiling, and everybody's shouting, and Poe finally manages to get Finn's attention, go, wait, no, stop, we know these guys, they're with the Resistance. And on the ground, Han is just like, I'm not angry, Resistance, arg. Because grumble. And Finn kind of is panting because he just tried to take on a Wookiee. And he's like, you're okay. And Poe is like, we're okay. You're okay. We're okay. Sorry? And from there, like, everybody explains everything. And Poe is like, thanks for trying to help. Next time, make sure we actually need it. I mean, we probably will, but... and so Finn gets to show a little bit of stuff because that's what he does. He acts like he follows his instincts. His instincts say either run or fight, and he does. Anyway, situation with the giant tentacle beasts and the other pirates happens, and they all end up on the Falcon, and they... But the Falcon is still, like, damaged, and they've only got so much fuel, and so Han is like, trust me, I know how far this baby can go. We've got a limited number of planets. We can head to this planet, this planet, this planet. You know, we don't want to head... We could go to this planet, but we don't actually want to go there because there's a bounty up on Chewie. And Chewie growls and something. Well, yeah, there's a bounty on me too, but... And one of the planets, Rey just snaps out, there, we're going there. And it's the planet with Maz's cantina, and it's one of the planets on her list. It's one of the, like, the list that Ezra gave her of, if you're ever in trouble, here's one of the places you can go. And so they head there, and... Rey has her moment of, oh, it's so green, and Poe is, like, trying to get a hold of the Resistance, and Finn, like, there needs to be a scene between Poe and Finn in which Poe convinces Finn to stay with them, because Finn is still, like, Finn has no reason to stick around. Everybody knows that he's not with the Resistance because, like, in the movie, that was his big deal. He was, like, pretending to be something he wasn't. But he's just a stormtrooper who abandoned his post and ran away. He's a deserter. There's gonna be not a bounty up on him because... They wouldn't waste the money, but there's certainly his name is going to be red flagged in any of the Imperial, like, places. So if anybody does find him, he will be, like, captured and then locked up. And Poe is like, well, all the more reason to come with us then, because... We can get you new papers. We can, if you want to help us, that's great. Like, you could give us all the information you know about the Starkiller base, and in return, we can help you. And so Finn is still hesitant, but he's like, okay, it's as much of a plan as anything else. And all I have to do is tell them things, and then once I'm done giving my debrief, I can disappear, and that'll be the end of it. So they get to Maz Cantina, and Maz and Chewbacca are like, hey! And Han, like, goes and orders a drink, and Poe... is very interested in getting a message to the Resistance. And Rey is right there beside him because she's convinced that this is the way to get back to her master. And she's also super, super interested in the Resistance because through all this time of Ezra training her, he's been telling her stories of his time on the Ghost and his time... fighting alongside the Resistance ever since then. And she, I mean, it's, she's got as much of a star in her eyes kind of thing for the Resistance as she does for the old Jedi Order. She wants to be a part of this, and the only thing keeping her down at this point is the fact that Ezra is still locking her out. That he, I mean, she still knows that he is still alive, but she can't tell anything else. But at the same time, she starts to sense something else because she is trained in this verse. So she senses something. She hears singing. And at first she thinks it's just something in the bar, but it's something in the force. And after a little bit, she can tell. And so she follows the singing and she finds the lightsaber and she has a vision. And it's not the vision she has in the movie, but she has a vision. And she knows what it is this time. And she, like, does her best to memorize what the vision shows her, because she's going to talk to Ezra about this as soon as she goes and rescues him, damn it. And Poe is straight up calling the resistance, but somebody, it's not like someone would recognize Finn, but somebody recognizes somebody, and the First Order shows up again, like in the movie, but because Poe has contacted the Resistance and given them, like, his security codes, they show up even faster than they did before. There's another fight, but because of the quick action of the Resistance and because of, like, a couple of other factors that I can't think of right now, but the Resistance does good. And the First Order, maybe Finn notices that the Resistance, or that the First Order is coming again. He's very aware of this kind of thing, and nobody's paying any attention to him. So he's like, he's sitting at the bar watching people and, like, sipping a drink that he's not sure what exactly is in this drink. I don't think I'm gonna drink that. I don't know what's in it. Kind of thing. And he sees a shady guy. Not that, like, half the people in this bar are shady, but he sees a shady guy go and make a comm call, and he's able to give them a bit more warning, and which also means he has time to run again, but this time he's less inclined to it. Like, he runs, but he gets to cover, and then he turns around to see if Rey and Poe are following him, and they're not. Poe is undercover, blasting away, and Han and Chewbacca have the crossbow going, and Rey at this point is going full-on Jedi lightsaber because she found a lightsaber, and she has trained with Ezra to actually use a lightsaber. So she's just smack dab in the middle of it, going blast, 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 like deflect, 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 spin around, slash you, deflect, deflect. And from the trees, Finn is just like, jaw drop. But again, he comes from behind and saves them, because Rey, while she does have a lot more training, doesn't have a lot of actual combat experience. And so she's focused on the guys in front of her, and there's another troop coming in from the side. And so Finn comes in and fights off the guys from the side and makes enough of noise to draw some attention over there, and then they're fighting on two fronts, but the Resistance comes in from above and bombs the place, or not bombs the place, but, you know, blasts people, and they end up winning the day and getting away and getting back to the Resistance base, because they're able to fix the Falcon in the meantime, and yeah. As is in the show. So they get to the Resistance base, and Rey is kind of stars in her eyes. Oh my god, I'm on a Resistance base. I wish my master was here to see this. and she meets Leia, and she knows exactly who Leia is from all the stories, and she's just like, jaw drop, oh my god, it's such an honor to meet you, and my master's told me so much about you. And Leia's like, your master? Because she's assuming slave. And Rey is like, yes, my Ezra Bridger, my master. And Leia's like, wait, Ezra's alive? Because, one, the Resistance has had only dubious contact with Ezra the past few years. Now, he is Fulcrum. They do work with him, but, like, sending Poe out to meet with him, that was a, like, out-of-the-blue thing that somebody with Fulcrum's codes sent a message that we have some very important information, and all these codes are accurate. We're going to send one of our best agents because Poe knows how to get out of tight situations if this is a trap. So, one, they're surprised that it was actually Ezra and that he's like, oh good, he's still alive. This is not him, like, still being alive after the space whales thing. They know he's alive after that. But he hasn't checked in a while, being on Jakku. So it's good to know that he was still alive while he was on Jakku all these last 3 or 4 years. Okay, possibly more than that. It's just that he hasn't checked in the last 3 or 4 years. And then they heard about everything being blown up because Poe gave them abbreviated message of there was a firefight and the First Order showed up on Jakku. And so they assumed that the contact was dead, which meant that Ezra was once again assumed dead. And Rey is like, no, he's my Jedi master. We have a master Padawan bond. I know he's still alive. Leia is one of the few people who can understand what that means, sort of. I mean, it's not like she ever had a master, but she's worked with the Force enough to get the gist of it. And she treats Rey like a Jedi, straight up. Like, she introduces Rey as, this is Jedi Rey. So Poe not only A, surviving, but B, bringing back a Jedi and a First Order defector who has the secret plans to the base, it's kind of implied that they get the Starkiller base blueprints from Finn, even though Finn is like, no, those plans are in BB-8. Those are from Ezra, but okay, yeah, I can tell you about guard rotations. And Rey is very determined that, like, no, we are going to go and rescue my master. And everybody else is like, yeah, we're going to go destroy Starkiller Base. So they make a plan, and they go and they try to execute this plan. The thing is that Ezra, I mean, he hasn't been being tortured this whole time. They are smart enough that, like, Kylo tries to torture him, but Ezra just kind of laughs in his face. Ezra is like, you're a child. I faced Darth Vader. I faced the Emperor. The Emperor once tried to get me on his side. Your petty little mind games are nothing compared to that. And that kind of stumps Kylo, because Ezra is telling him the story of how they fought on, like, about how, like, the first time he fought Vader and how he once, like, captured a Sith holocron from Mortis, and you know, he's just like going off on these old stories, and half of it is Ezra like buying time, but half of it is really like, what are you doing, kid? Your master really screwed you up. What are you doing? And who is this guy you're following? This like supreme leader dude? He doesn't sound cool. Has he actually taught you anything? You know, I probably know more about the dark side than you have learned from him. No, seriously, I went dark at one point. Like, he's playing up the darkness thing, of course, but at the same time, he's... like, Kylo has no idea what to make of him. And he, you know, has to report to Snoke that he has captured this Jedi, and Snoke thinks it is Luke, because all Kylo says is, I have captured a Jedi Master. And Snoke just says, bring him to me. And that's the end of it. And part of it is that Ezra, like, they're smart enough not to leave him alone with the troopers, but they're not smart enough to realize that, like, he knows a lot of force tricks and a lot of force tricks that, and a lot of tricks that have nothing to do with the force as well. Like, Ezra can pick locks. Ezra is enough of a slicer to get out of quite a bit. And so, eventually, Kylo gets called away to deal with something, and Ezra's like, and I'm out of these cuffs, and I'm out of this chair, and I'm out of this room, and now I am loose on Starkiller Base. And which drives Hux and Phasma nuts. Like, rogue Jedi loose in your base. It's that one scene in episode 4 where Obi-Wan is sneaking around and turning off tractor beams, only times a million. Because Ezra can hide himself in the Force really well. He's been doing that since he was a kid, since he started training. And Kylo is still pretty raw around the edges when it comes to pretty much everything. He's not nearly as good at using the Force as Vader was. So Ezra's running around, flipping switches and turning off everything, or, you know, blowing things up and setting little things to overheat, and just generally causing minor panic everywhere on Starkiller. And Phasma is, like, ordering her troops to find him, and Hux is trying to still blow up these planets, because, like, we cannot blow... Why? We can't blow up these planets if we can't turn on the reactor. Why the hell isn't the reactor turning on? Where the fuck did the Jedi go? And which brings Kylo back into it, and Kylo is just throwing a tantrum in the corner somewhere. I don't know. And it's about that time when the Resistance shows up, and Ezra has been heavily shielded, both because he doesn't want Rey to feel any torture, but also because he wants to hide from Kylo. But then Rey gets into the system, and Kylo is searching for any trace of a light side user in the Force, and Kylo picks up on Rey. He can tell that Rey is not Ezra, but he can also tell that, like, she's young, she's untrained, she's eager. And he jumps to the conclusion, and it happens to be the right one, that Rey is Ezra's student. or at the very, or possibly daughter, family member, that, you know, if he can capture and threaten to kill Rey, then Ezra will, like, sacrifice himself instead, because that's the Jedi way. So Kylo goes after Rey, and you have... And see, because of all this, you don't have the drama with Kylo trying to kill Han. So Han and Chewbacca split off and blow up the reactors without anyone noticing. Partially because Kylo is distracted. Partially because everyone is distracted. And partially because that's exactly the kind of thing that Ezra has been doing for the past 24 hours. And... after everything else going wrong, why wouldn't the reactors blow up? They're trying to fight so many different fires at this point. Yeah. They're busy blowing up the reactor, and Kylo is leading... No, no, wait. Kylo is going after Rey, and Rey is fighting with Finn, and Finn is leading Rey into a back door that he knows about in order to go and rescue Ezra, because she cannot sense Ezra. She knows that he is alive, she knows that he is nearby, but nearby is basically in this system on this planet, not, she can't pin him down any more than Kylo can. They end up meeting and clashing on the surface. Meanwhile, Ezra has dropped everything that he is doing and is racing towards them. Unfortunately, he's some distance away, so it takes him a while to get there. But he is sensing, like, all of the combat on the surface, and Poe is flying his squadron, and then he's sensing the light side and the dark side clashes, and... because he realizes that Kylo is now fighting Rey, he stops shielding. He's putting everything he is into getting there as fast as possible, and never mind hiding anymore. This distracts both of them in the middle of the fight, because all of a sudden both of them can sense him and sense him getting closer, and... they break off fighting long enough, like, they don't know whether they should head in his direction, whether, like, they're both trying to get to him for different reasons, and they don't know whether they should try to take each other out first, and that's about when the planet blows up. Can't decide whether Finn is still injured. He might still be injured, and then... instead of Rey going back for him, it's Ezra who finds Finn, and Rey has fought Kylo to the point where they're some distance away, and Finn is, like, grabbing at Ezra, going, she's fighting him, she's, and Ezra is like, I know, but you need help, and where's your ship, and babbling, and... so when Rey has to turn around and go back for Finn, she can't find Finn, and she can sense her master, but it's less, and she's like, you're back towards the, are you, master, where are you? And, like, shouting in her mind through their bond, and he's trying to keep Finn alive. He's got force healing going on Finn and trying to carry him at the same time and trying to get him back to the Falcon. So all he can really do is, like, get back to your ship, get off the planet, shouting at her in the back of his mind as he's trying to do three or four different things at once. And they all manage to make it back to the Falcon, including Chewie and Han. And the planet starts to break up, and Kylo managed to escape with Hux and Phasma, but the Starkiller base is destroyed, and they never managed to blow up those five planets because of Ezra's meddling. And Ezra goes back to the Resistance, and everybody's like, oh, look, we have a Jedi again. And Rey is like, I kind of found this lightsaber. I think it belongs to Luke Skywalker. And Ezra's like, yeah, about that guy. We're going to go find him just so I can smack him. You do not treat it. And he's like, okay, you're my Padawan, so you will understand this. You do not treat a student this way. Ezra's muttering under his breath about crazy Skywalkers and the weird thing. Like, so in the middle of Ezra talking to Kylo and telling him all the stories about the old days, Kylo, like, opened up to him and was like, my grandfather and Luke tried to kill me. And he's like, Luke did what? Like, and it ends up being Rey stays with the Resistance base because she's all like starry-eyed going, oh my God, we're with the Resistance. And Ezra's like, yeah, okay, we have the map back to Luke's secret hideout, right? Why did he think this was a good idea? Okay, tell you what. Rey, you stay here with your friend. He's healing. You do your thing. I'm gonna go get Luke Skywalker and knock some sense into him. And Leia's like, I appreciate this point of view. And so the one who does the whole climb up the steps of the island mountain thing is Ezra, and he just, like, kind of puts his hands on his hips and goes, really? Really? And then you have, like, two old men having a chat going, like, okay, I know students can be an aggravation. I told you the whole Jedi school was a bad idea. No, I ended up taking an apprentice, too. I know, the Force works in mysterious ways and all that, but really? Okay, your side of the story is, ugh. And you ran away, why? You realize people make mistakes, right? And Ezra ends up, like, dragging Luke back by the coattails, because unlike Rey, he has some authority in the matter, and he's like, okay, we're taking the Jedi books, I'm taking you, I don't care if you don't want to, I'm gonna drag you by the scruff of your neck, we're going back to, yeah, you know, you're gonna go apologize to your sister. And the end, at least for now.